Blog Talk Radio.
It's Wonderful Wednesday, Hump Day. I am Dr. Lorenza D. Smith, the host of Talking Sports Plus, the voice of the historical black colleges and universities, high school and middle school athletics in the southeastern part of the United States. We're going to make this thing do what it do. So let's bring them out, bring them out.
Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. It's hard to yell when the bat rails in your mouth.
Come on.
Bring them out, bring them out.
Hey.
Bring them out, bring them out.
Yeah.
Bring them out, bring them out.
Hey.
Coming live from the VIP, heard the nightlife, lost life, what I need. Most dead in the state, wanna see by me. The whole city got pissed, heard he got three. That other papa got a hit, but shouted he mad at me. Who set the city on fire soon as he got free? The king back now, Rawls don't even know how to act now. Hit the club, strippers getting naked before I sat down. See a ball, the money stacked out of the sack now. See a push a button and let the roof on the lack down. I'm on the road doing shows from a Mac down. Mississippi to Philly, Albuquerque to Chat Town. Got the crowd yelling.
Bring them out,
hey,
bring them out.
All my hot girls yelling.
Bring them out,
hey,
bring them out.
All the dope boys yelling.
Bring them out,
hey,
bring them out. The pack gay yelling.
Hey, I'm the man to get with other brothers rapping hooded than this. I got rich and I'm still in a hooligan clique. You be rapping by a blow, I'm moving the bricks. Talk about shooting out, now we're doing the tricks. If I hit you in the face, you gon' be suing me quick. If I catch another case, I know it's true to be missed. So I'ma keep a cool head, stay out of the news headlines, and show these other rappers it's bedtime. You see that I'm a hell of a time. I got the grown gal hard, talk the real with the shine. I got the time, there ain't nothing I get better with time. Who got a flow when a live show better than mine? I got a packed house yelling.
Bring them out,
hey,
bring them out.
All my hot girls yelling.
Bring them out,
hey,
bring them out.
All the dope boys yelling.
Bring them out,
hey,
bring them out.
The pack gay yelling.
Bring them out,
hey,
bring them out.
Mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2. You wanna beef with the team, what is you gon' do? When you show up on the scene, what is you gon' do? When you and your friend and play a little 2-on-2. If you do half of what I do, you be hitting the deck. I got a tool and a vest, I can get some respect. I'ma make it hard for another sucker to flex. Show him to take a score for a sucker to test. Tell my too large and we way too fresh. Work well when they put the checker lane like a game of chess. You wanna be better, bring your best. Cause we'll be standing in your front yard yelling.
Bring them out,
ayy. All my hot girls yelling.
Bring them out,
ayy. All the dope boys yelling.
Bring them out,
ayy. The pack gay yelling.
Bring them out,
ayy. All the front yard yelling.
Bring them out,
ayy. All my hot girls yelling.
Bring them out,
ayy. All the dope boys yelling.
Bring them out,
ayy. The pack gay yelling.
Bring them out,
ayy. You know, save all the hating and the popping, pipping. You know, we're telling people you my partner. Listen, you know, don't be a goofy, keep it moving, shouting. You know, hey, I ain't tripping, but the truth is really, you know. Yeah, you know they call me T.I., but you know, you be hating and I see why. Cause you know, hey, I think it's time I made a song for people who know. I graduated at the street, I'm a real OG.
My,
I'm telling you, bring them out.
It's Wonderful Wednesday.
Having a ball. This is all about a ball. I'm Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith, the host of Talking Sports Plus. Come to you every Wednesday, coming hard, coming fast. You know, I want to make you do what you do, enjoy what you're doing, and have an awesome time doing it. Because we're all about keeping on grinding. That's what it's all about, making the life different and understanding sports. From our point of view, which is Talking Sports Plus, we are the voice of the historical black colleges and university, high school, and middle school athletics in the southeastern part of the United States. So I'm telling you, man, we're ready to make this thing happen. We're going to bring you some sports focus on what's going on with COVID-19, this changing championship football. We're putting a new look on it, a new pitch on it. Some places were fortunate enough to get me, especially some high schools, to be able to start tonight. They're able to start in the state of Alabama and have their championship game. In 2 weeks in the state of Florida, they'll be working on their championship game. They're just going through phase one, phase two, phase three. They try to make this thing happen. And we're just going to share as much as we can in regards to championship football, 2020 and COVID-19 part two, because COVID-19 is changing all of our lives. You know, it's so important that we think about it. Now, our calling number, and I'm going to share some things regarding, I think, the effect I have encountered myself personally with people I do know. Calling number is 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I'll make sure I get you on the line. Just give us your location, then offer your expertise. If you want to go to the web link, that's www.blogtalkradio.com/The Smith Way Productions. And if you want to check us out, as we're being broadcast on Facebook, we have several people. Thank you so much for joining us. Those people, I'll make sure I give you a shout-out because you took time to be early and get started. And see, I want to recognize that first four people, I know you're coming in. So I'm going to do something special for you all later on to make sure we get you all, you know, a part of this team that we have here in regards to having something to market. We thank you for taking the opportunity. We want to make sure. Now, on Facebook, that's facebook.com/DRLDIVIRTUALSMITH. And we're also tonight on Periscope of Twitter, and that's just @TheSmithWayProduction. Check us out. It's all about making this thing happen. So just get ready to have a ball. Make sure you get ready to call in. I gave you the call-in number. Just now repeat it, 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I'll make sure I get you on the line, and you can share your thoughts. We have several people who make up the team. And I appreciate each and every one of those individuals for volunteering to be a part of this. And I, especially that, you know, all of them, either they're some form of close family members, frat brothers, and just good friends and future frat brothers or whoever they may be. We said, thank you for being a part of this. You know, we just want to share this because this is a vessel. God blessed me to have the opportunity to have this vision back in 2017. In September, we kicked our first show off. So we're moving toward our fourth year to the point, I mean, having our four-year anniversary, and we're excited. We got several shows in that third-year anniversary coming up. We have several shows that in our second-year anniversary, and we have some shows that are one-year anniversary, and we have some shows in months anniversary, because, see, it's good to be able to be blessed to get this voice out to you. So we want you to be a part of what we're going to be talking about in sports tonight. If you want to tweet our show, you have a great opportunity. If you just don't want to call in, if you don't want to go to Facebook or to the Twitter account, you have an opportunity to tweet the show, and you can. And that is @The Smith Way Production, as well as @TremaineEdwards with the number 7. Then we also have @Coach_L_Smith. @Darryl, which is another word, Elliot Darryl with the number 1, @TalkingSportsPlus. You got many ways to make connection with us through Twitter, so check it out. Be with us, you know, and have an awesome time, because we always try to do this. Now, just keep in mind that if you want to email the show, you can go to LorenzaDSmith15@gmail.com, TalkingSportsPlus@gmail.com. You can talk with us. You can share your thoughts. You can offer us your support. Offer whatever you can. If you want to sponsorship to what we're doing here, we have an awesome sponsorship plan that's set up for you, a package that's set up where you can get the time you want to get your show out. We'll make sure it's heard all over the world, because that's what we're being broadcast in 18 countries. We're excited not to have all 18 countries all over the world, but just have the two countries that's so close and dear to us. For example, up in Canada. We're jumping for joy because those individuals are checking us out in Canada, and they're excited. They're happy to have an opportunity to be a part of, and we thank you so much. Also in Mexico, we got them down to the north and to the south of the United States checking us out. So we thank you, and then you go to the Caribbean Islands, you go to the Virgin Islands, the Philippine Islands, individuals taking time to check us out. So it's so good to have each and every one of you. Now, I want to talk specifically about my individuals that join me as co-hosts. They call in from time to time. They may not be here. One might be here. Two might be here. Three might be here. Jeff might be myself here enjoying the awesome time to come before you talking sports. Now, let's give a shout-out to these individuals because they do take their time when they do are able to be on the show. We have Hales from Central Alabama. We have two millennium Hales from Central Alabama. So we want to make sure we give them a shout-out for sure. And young, excited, and when they're able to join, because they're coaching, trying to get their team through this time of COVID-19, trying to wiggle through whatever creases they have. We held from Montgomery, none other than a young lady, a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated, none other than Coach Lauren D. Smith, a millennial. She's the lady of the hour. We also, from this central Alabama area, you have none other than another millennial. That's Coach Cameron Gilman. Then we go to south central Alabama. You have our resident high school expert, retired with the Alabama High School Athletic Association, none other than a member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated, Coach Tony Stallworth. We call him Touchdown Tony. Then we have Hale from North Alabama. This young man is known as the King. We're so glad to have him because he offers a different perspective from the northern part of the state of Alabama, but southern Tennessee as well. He works up in the Madison County school system as a coach. He just left the Huntsville school system and after winning 6 girls city championship in basketball, 5 boys championship in basketball, and 2 football championship up there at Chapman Middle School. He's now doing his thing over there in Madison County. Keep doing what you're doing. None other than the King, Coach Tremaine Edwards. Now the next 2 individuals I have to give a shout-out for, starting with our radio personality. He's all with us from time to time, but he's on the radio. He's doing some producing right now on the Big KD in Central Alabama, 94.1. If you want to tune in, you can. None other than the conductor of the E-Train. He's also known as the Gun King of all things. None other than my fraternity brother, Darryl E-Train Elliott. Thank you, Darryl, for joining us as well from time to time. Oh, last but not least, I see the line is open, and I hope this is the young man that's joining us on this line. We added him to recently, just the last show. He said he wanted to be a part of it, so we brought him in. And I see he's on Facebook, and I'm hoping that all this, you know, this background I'm getting, that's him on that line with that 549 number. So none other than a young man that hails out of South Central Alabama. He's proud to be at this, and he said, well, hey, he's going to be wearing this blue light, then I'm going to have one. Most of the probably ever seen him on here, man. But truly, truly, his wife is a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated and also a pastor. None other than Coach Marvin Smith. Coach Smith, if that's you on the line.
Okay, that's me, big brother. How you doing, sir?
I am fine. It's good to have you all tonight. We're going to have an awesome time. So, you know, hopefully Coach Stallworth, I know he was heading up to Tuscaloosa to check out that championship game. He'll maybe join back in as well as Coach Edwards. But we're going to do this thing together, man. We got a format that's awesome. It's talking about championship football 2020, COVID-19 part 2. We did part 1 last week. Now we're going to grab with part 2. So those individuals, I appreciate each and every one. As I said earlier, we're being broadcast by Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, Twitter, and time for time we have Instagram. Let me give a shout-out to those people that's joining us, and I have to do this on Facebook. These individuals took their time and said, well, we're going to check out and see what's going on. We have, I'm going to say Sarah, if I'm looking at it right, DeVita Brown, a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. Thank you, DeVita. Thank you so much. We have Yvette Smith, my biological sister, the baby of the bunch. We thank her so much out of the state of Georgia. We have Latane Pickett, Inspire to Inspire. That is the ministry she has. Check her out. Go to Facebook, Latane Pickett, and just go to her group page as well. and you can be a part of. She always has some strong messages in the morning time and doing some awesome things. She's coming up, as I know for sure, be doing some toys for the needy families during the holiday. If you want to make donations, please make donations to Inspire to Inspire so they can provide toys to a family who will really need. We're in challenging times during COVID-19. Keep that in mind, and some people may not have a paycheck coming in. They're waiting on the assistance from the government, who at this time not working like they should to make sure it be there. But however, she's going to be working hard. So if you want to make a donation of a toy, or you want to make a donation of any funding, you can go to the Terry Pickett page and just try to hook her up so she can do what you. Because we at the Smith Way Production, the Smith Way Enterprise, we're going to make a donation. We're going to make the first donation to her and Inspire to Inspire for Christmas toys for children. And we're going to make that very soon so she can go out and start getting things for those young people, the family she have identified. We also have joining us as well, and he's on the line. He's live as well. None other than Marvin Smith joining us on Facebook. Thank you so much, Marvin, doing a two-way thing. We have another songwriter of Zeta Babeda Sorority Incorporated, Nicole Sharon Brown. She was on one of our shows, Talking Real to You, last year. It's not the first of the year, and she has several books she had published. And I know it was 11 at the time, and she had others, and they're being circulated throughout the country, and she's getting response. She's posting on Facebook. So Nicole over in Louisiana, the state of Louisiana, member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority, keep on doing what you're doing. God is going to bless you, and he's going to move you like you never been moved before in 2021. Hold on. It's going to be all right. We also have Michelle. Michelle, thank you for joining us as well. I'm trying to get the picture, but they're kind of small. Then I'm going to give a shout-out for this young man. He's out of the Great Lakes region, the state of Michigan. None other than a cohort that we serve as regional director on the International Board of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity. He was a Great Lakes regional director, and I was a Southern regional director. None other than my friend, I can call, and my fraternity brother, Winston K. I'm going to throw that what we call him, Bingo McNeil. I'm sorry, O'Neill. Man, I see the nails in my mind, the light is kind of blinding, but we're working on it. We're going to apologize for this, my brother. It's O'Neill. Thank you. That's Bingo O'Neill. We call him Bingo. I got caught up with the Bingo. Thank you for each and every one of y'all. And for each of those individuals joining, I want y'all to go to my email account. And you just LorenzaDSmith15@gmail.com and let me know your shirt size where I can deliver a shirt that's going to talk about this Smith Wave production and all of our shows and all of our casts free to you. Thank you for joining us tonight. Appreciate you so much. All right, Brother Marvin, we're going to get started here and make this thing happen because we got a lot going on with COVID-19. Some people was able and fortunate enough to get to the point where they can play championship game like the state of Alabama high school. Florida is working through it. They looking close to it too. Where's Georgia? Georgia's at that point as well. Tennessee is at that point, working, trying to get to that. One more week to go. We have South Carolina. Then we also have Louisiana. And all of them trying to play and get it out the way. We got colleges canceling games because this was the time we expect. We're spiking now. So make sure you practice the protocol. Protocol is make sure you stay at home. That's number one. You know, I didn't say last. That's number one. If you don't have to be out, don't be out. Okay? Oh, make sure you distance yourself, social distance, 6 feet away from the individual. If you're in the store, tell them to step back, get back, have your mask. Wear your mask. There's no guarantees of anything, but wear your mask. You got a better chance. And then last but not least, wash your hands. Take that time to wash your hands or have some kind of sanitizer to make sure you keep your hand clean at all times. This is the way we're going to cut down on what's going on. Now, it's a spike coming, and next 2 weeks going to be, they're going to say all-time high for the United States or for the world, so dealing with COVID-19 because of the change of the weather. I want to get that in. Now, one more shout-out, a couple more shouts I want to get out. Then we're going to get this show started. I want to give a shout-out to Kurt Hatcher. House of Representatives for the state of Alabama. He's running for state senate, District 27, the election on December 15th. The polls open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Make sure you go and vote for Kurt Hatchett if you're in this 26th for state senate. He's honest. He's transparent. As well as he's ethical. He's our voice. He's our vision. Vote for Kurt Hatchett. Also, vote for Dr. Melvin Lowe. Dr. Melvin Lowe is running for AEA Vice President. That's the Alabama Education Association. And he'll be running for that and that vice president position. Check him out. When it's voting time, if you're a member of AEA, vote for him. All right, Brother Marvin, let's get on this thing, make this thing happen. We're going to make it do what it do. And as
make
we
it
move
do what
forward,
it do.
Make it do what it do. And I do want to say this because this is where my heart is heavy right now. Good friend, former administrator that we worked together and was actually took my place at one of the schools. We've been friends for a long time. Transitioned from Saturday. This is the Montgomery Public School System. System principal at, he was at Lee High School. Transition, Dr. Ennis McCorbett. An educator, young, energetic, making a difference in children's life, but COVID-19 and some other symptoms transition Dr. McCorbett, and our prayers is for him, his family. We know his soul is going to be, and his spirit is going up there in heaven. So he's a good man. My heart is really torn with that. Then we have a system principal over at Johnny Carr. That's Mr. Farrell. He also transitioned during the Thanksgiving period of time. Then we also had a volunteer teacher over Jeff Davis who transitioned during this time, as well as you have the principal of the McIntyre Comprehensive Academy, Sabrina Johnson, who was battling hard dealing with COVID in the hospital. We have many other who's at home on stay. Even our co-host who had an opportunity, had to go home yesterday, and that's Coach Smith, Lauren Smith, because coming in contract tracing. Guys, let's be serious. Let's make this thing work for us. All right, Marvin, I wanted to give that shout out and show how heavy our hearts is, especially with this show. Losing Dr. McCorbett, Mr. Farrell, and also losing, not to COVID, but Shai Hudson over at Goodwin Middle School, someone who took his life. They arrested that person today. And see, God is always working. He ain't asleep. So we want to make sure we do that. I know everybody said, well, you took a long time. It won't take a long time because that's important. Let's talk about discussing whether the NCAA football conferences cancel the rest of the season due to COVID-19 outbreak. Do we think they will cancel it because we're getting to, as the scientists say, in the next 2 or 3 weeks, the spike is going to be so high. We're going to be totally out of control. Are we going to make it through the next 2 weeks to play football, the NCAA, so they can get an opportunity to play for a championship starting on the 1st of January and on the 11th down in Miami, Florida, for the championship game?
Well, before I give you my thoughts, though, Dr. Smith, I really wanted to chime in on what you have said about Dr. Enos McCorvey, because Dr. McCorvey, when I first moved from Indianapolis to Montgomery, he gave me my first administrator. He gave me my first job in the school system of Montgomery Public Schools. Not only he was my administrator, he also was a friend, someone I can call. We talk among a lot. So I'm glad you brought that up, man. My prayers is with him, his son, his daughter, his wife, and the family, and also the other ones that we have lost lately here. So I'm glad you brought that up, Dr. Smith.
Awesome. Thank you, man. So important that we talk about our life-changing events with our friends and cohorts and good people that we know strive to make children's lives better. So the job, as God said, has been done. So you called them home. So we're going to be here to help support the family. We're going to pray for the family. Pam, EJ, we're going to make sure we pray for y'all, and we're going to be here to support you. All right, brother. So let's talk about moving toward something.
Talking about football, Dr. Smith.
Yes, sir. You got a lot of conferences get to the point where they're talking about canceling the rest of the season. You even had something came out on last night on the college football show that comes on about the ranking of those teams, and Cloney and Kirk Herbstreit said something about Michigan was afraid to play Ohio State, but in the effort of saying that if they didn't play, you would end up, Ohio State wouldn't have enough games to qualify for the NCAA playoff, which they understood that from the beginning, but we're going to. But I want to hear your thoughts in regards to some teams canceling. I understand we have COVID-19 here, but if teams are choosing to cancel, I don't want everybody to say a team is scared of a team because you canceled because of COVID-19. You use that as an excuse. Now, I'm saying that's not an excuse. This is real. We got to realize it is real. And these teams and these players have to protect themselves. The administrators have to protect their family. Because when you take on somebody's child, you better protect them. Because something happened to them, you're going to have a problem because you're the one who took the responsibility. Share your thoughts on that.
And I agree with you. Safety is pretty much is first. But I tell you, with the Big Ten, the Pac-12, with them starting so late, if you look at it, it just I don't think that it's gonna cancel the season, but I think it's gonna be a lot of cautionary going forward towards the championship. You may have some schools that will probably just say if Ohio State don't get all of their games, who do you think could get in? Are you going to have two SEC teams because they have played enough games? Or will you have Big 12, which they're not doing as well? So it's got to be, and you know, at the end of the day, it's all about the money.
Yes.
Dr. Smith, it's all about that money.
Yes,
when you come to the NCAA or any other conference, it's about that money.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that's what it's all about. And just kind of piggyback on what Brother Marvin is saying is we have to understand that from the beginning, as of August 11, the Big Ten, the Pac-12 decided to not play football this fall and play in the spring. However, because other conferences like the Big 12 and the SEC and the ACC was able to set a time frame when it gets started, which they pushed it back. The ACC played and started on the 12th of September, and the SEC started on the 26th. But it allowed themselves to get at least 8 games and possibly 9 games. The Big Ten and the Pac-12 decided to move it back because the Pac-12 didn't start until the 26th. They wasn't going to play.
Right.
But that added pressure of money
made
them step out of their comfort zone to please people.
Mm-hmm.
And now I personally think this is what you should get. If you all you want to do was maybe play anyway. You was going to play. So if you don't get for 5 games, you got 5 games. If you don't get for 6 games, you got 6 games. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I tell you what we could have, we could have two SEC teams versus two ACC teams in the championship.
Yes, yes sir. Yes, sir.
You can have Notre Dame, Clemson, or you can have Alabama, Florida. You see, so because Alabama, Florida is going to play for the SEC championship, Notre Dame and Clemson is going to play for the ACC championship.
Exactly. And we may not like that, but you know what? Those schools have got the most complete set of teams than anybody else have. You know, we can talk about Cincinnati. We can talk about Brigham Young. We can talk, but those teams are not going to get up there and be able to compete with high explosive teams like Florida, Alabama, Notre Dame. Notre Dame don't score a lot, but they play good defense. Clemson. You got to understand that everybody's talking about the same old same. You know what? I have a problem. I just like to see good football. I don't want you to put somebody in there, get beat 50 to something in the first round or semifinal just because you want somebody else in different. I don't want you to go to 18. I got a problem with 18 because all you're going to do, them teams is going to get blasted in that first round. So the point is, I personally think that it's working out like it should. Now, we was talking about the season being canceled. And the reason I brought that topic up is because of what Kurt Herbstreit said and the other pundits and other newscasts were saying that Michigan was trying to sabotage Ohio State season. But the truth of the truth,
right.
You are not going to give us six games anyway. Just think about how do you think Wisconsin feels? They had to sit out 2-3 weeks because of what? COVID-19. So they won't get their six games in. If you don't get it in, you don't blame everybody else. Don't blame another school. Look at the route that you took. The route was you decided, your conference decided on August 11th with the Pac-12 not to play. When nobody else followed you, now you want to get started and now want to complain. You want to come in with five games when everybody else plays 9 or 10. Now, I have a real serious problem with that.
Jim Harbaugh ain't winning anyway up there in Michigan, so he'll try to do anything to keep from getting embarrassed by Ohio State.
Exactly. So my thing is, you have to protect your players. I see a lot of players now, what we have to understand is opting out if they know they're not going to the championship, not going to go to the playoff. Just read the paper. Every day is a player opting out, meaning that player is decided no longer to continue on playing this season. He said their excuse, and most of the statement is, I'm going to get ready for the NFL. You got a lot of players off Texas. They had two the other day. You have West Virginia. Several teams that had players because they figured, I'm not going to the playoff. Ain't nothing to play but a bowl. They weren't going to a bowl. So the point is, COVID-19 have affected this, have caused us to look at this in a different way, and we can blame anybody we want to blame. But we got to say we was all about what suiting up, playing the game, and making the money. And sometimes the consequences with making that money causes you to lose out in another way. And that's what people have to understand. We was all about, we're going to miss that money. What we going to do? What you going to do like you always do? People have to realize, and Marvin, we pretty much know this, that every spring, those teams at each one of the Power Five conference walk away from their spring conference with checks way over $30 million. Checks, it's a football.
That is correct.
These are conference.
That is correct.
$30 million plus. Now, if you
last
10 years hadn't put away some of that money to function your program as what we call a rainy day, then you should play. Your budget should be blown up. Because if you be getting $30 million a year per team.
Yes. That's why I don't understand why Michigan wouldn't try to help Ohio State get their games in, because if Ohio State makes the playoffs, money going back to the big, Michigan are going to get some of it. They're going to reap some of the benefits.
Exactly, as well as the other 12 other teams in there. So everybody benefits from this. But it was all about the money from the beginning. See, that's what you got to go back. It was all about the money. And the money don't come that it may cause it. It's because of the TV rights. It's because of participating in a package on TV. That's where these conferences make the money. I'm talking about the Power Five conference. I'm not talking about the Group of Five. I'm not talking about the historical black colleges who do make money, but they don't make the money like these Power Five make. Because every one of those conference games, every one of their teams are on TV on Saturday, either on the SEC network, ACC network, Big Ten Network, the Pac-12 Network, they're on. Y'all got to understand they own. And that money is put in a big pot. It's part of that 30-some plus million dollars. But they didn't want to miss out on that this year. That's the reason why on August 11th, and they kept getting it pushed by the parents, well, everybody up playing, we can play. But this is what I said, Marvin. I said, and I'm sharing it with you, I said, the problem is nothing about what they're doing in the South, because our weather ain't like this in the North. You got to remember.
No, it's not.
And with COVID-19, and the this type of weather they have, we cold right here now. We 47 degrees, supposed to get down to 30 here in Alabama. That's where we are, in Alabama. Just think about it. Up in Detroit, up in Ohio, it's going to be below freezing or lower than that. So you cannot operate like we operate. So the reason you want to get on the field is because you think you can, and you know with the flu season and COVID-19, it's tough, and that's where these teams are being hit hard. Michigan being hit hard. All these other teams are being hit hard. You know, I applaud Mississippi State, brother Marvin, because they played with 49 scholarship players. They played with 49 scholarship players against Georgia. Mississippi State, 49. You had a game when LSU didn't have 53, and they didn't play Alabama. You see what I'm saying? So,
some teams said, why
sit at home and go play? We can play here, whereas they cannot play. A lot of people in the North don't feel comfortable hearing that, but that's why a lot of the guys leave the North and come South. It's warm down here. It might be 47.
And they lost,
go outside,
they lost so much money.
Yes.
The NCAA lost so much money in basketball last year, so you know they don't want to take that hit if they can help it in football.
Exactly. And that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with it. We want you to be a part of this. Call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I'll make sure I get you on by calling out the last four digits of your cell or telephone number, then I actually give you location, offer your expertise. Let's kind of move to the next topic. Marvin, we'll kind of bounce around a little bit here because it's really important that we kind of do this in regards to touching on just about everything. We're going to kind of move to some historical black college basketball. And the reason I say that includes four conferences, historical black colleges and university basketball, which started on the 25th. And we already have had the upset already with the historical black colleges against your bigger Division I, because, see, your SWAC and your MEAC, which is a Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference, and the Southwest Athletic, they are Division I, just like Auburn, Alabama, Georgia, Florida, Michigan, Illinois. They play the same level, meaning they may not play the same level, but they participate at the same level. For them to have the upsets we had in the last week or so, especially with nobody being able to really practice now, you know, like you want to practice, we have to applaud schools like Texas Southern putting off that upset, if I'm not mistaken, against Wyoming. That's an upset that we can talk about. Then you had Southern taking another school to the brink. You have these Prairie Views, they're competing. One thing about it, when this plague hit, it even everything. You couldn't do as much practice like you normally do when you enter the season because of COVID-19 in March. People normally, when they finished, they were still practicing all the way through. They couldn't do anything to the summer because of, you know, they were shutting everything. Everything was shut down. So these schools now rely on what level of play you have, and it's been equal out. So I don't want to see COVID-19 here, but to allow our SWAC, our MEAC, to compete with as a Division I team and not be left out and upset or beat some of these schools, I'm for that. Because I want to see them be able to compete. Because any other time, in a normal situation, they couldn't compete. They could not. All they could do is go for money games. But these schools are beating them now.
I tell you what's happening, though, Dr. Smith. With that, what you're saying is, if you take a look at it, see, them Power Five schools, the big schools, they getting the one and done kids. Now, the SWAC, the MEAC, these kids are staying together 4 years. So now it's gonna be hard. They're gonna push them to the link, to the brink of beating them or not. If they beat them or beat them, because of the simple fact they got 4 years experience of college versus a kid coming straight out of high school. Even though he may be a five star on paper, the game of college in basketball, and I think that's what's happening. The seniors in the small schools, if you look at it in the NCAA tournament, that's why the small schools is catching up with the big schools, because they got more seniors who play together more than the freshmen who's coming in trying to figure each other out.
Exactly. Prime example, Marvin, as you were saying, is Gonzaga. Gonzaga have probably more of their players going to be juniors, sophomores, and juniors and seniors. And they're ranked number one in the country. Now, they have some go to the pros. I'm not saying that after 1 year. But most of the time, they're going to give them 2 or 3 years. So, they're getting better, and they're playing at a higher level. So, in essence, they're able to continue to mesh to get better. See, COVID-19 didn't do much for Gonzaga. You know, they're on TV right now, and they might be going off now. But they was able to stick together, and what's the key to them being successful is the maturity of them playing together. And that's what's happening when I go back to COVID-19. Those schools like SWAC schools, the guys been there 4 years, that's been there where those guys that got freshmen coming in, All-American high school freshmen who couldn't practice like they wanted to practice because of COVID-19, haven't really. Now, later on in the year, it might be different. But right now, you get them when you can. And I applaud those opportunity, but I said, there's one thing about the Lord, he'll show us some things. Now, he'll slow us down enough. So now those schools are able to compete, and they're going to be able to compete personally, I feel, all year. Because just like you get better, they're going to get better. And they already way beyond a point that you have to catch up with. So those are the kind of things that are going on. I like to applaud those historical black colleges and universities for taking on the challenge of playing in these tournaments. They're money games, yes, but they're winning some of these games that they don't supposed to win. So you have to say hooray to those colleges like Texas Southern, like the Grambling, the Southern, just for the Alcorn, just like Alabama State, just like the Alabama A&M, just like FAMU, and just like Bethune-Cookman and Howard University. If everybody been listening, got what the top player or the number two player in the country last year, Markin.
That's right.
I think it's Markin. Yeah. See, he came to Howard. Now, he's been a little kind of fragile, meaning he's been a little ill here and now, but they letting him sit out right now. But when they get ready to get rolling with this MEAC and they get to playing, and he go, this is what's happening. We got to understand, this is what COVID-19 brought into existence. We got to look at the outcome as looking positive for our historical black colleges and universities. We see situations through systemic racism, and we recognize Black Lives Matter. You know, a lot of the boys, I'm not going there to those major colleges. I'm going to one of these historical black colleges and universities to play basketball. I'm going to these historical black colleges to play football. Jackson State, this coach is doing an awesome job. Prime time. He's bringing in these guys from the Division One who's dropping down. And the more players that he get at a high level, his team will compete at all-time high level. Everybody has to understand
that
about
you,
that. Yes, go ahead on.
You brought up the Wyoming thing, getting upset. One of their best players is at Alabama State.
Yes, sir. Sure is.
He transferred from Wyoming to Alabama State.
I think he's
almost like their second leading scorer or something. He's about their second leading scorer, but he's now at a historical black college at Alabama State now. Which State haven't played a game yet, I don't think. I know they were scheduled to play one. I'm looking forward to seeing Alabama State too. See what Mo Williams is going to do over there. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Exactly. And like I said, Mo Wheaton was out there, that what you would call that, close to that Pacific West, out there in that area.
Right.
And a lot of the players that saw him and even the AU, and they said, coming out of high school, we're going to where he's going, and that's Alabama State. Plus, he played in the NBA for many, many years, played at the University of Alabama. So he's not like he's not known. And he's been coaching at a high level at the major universities. And the kids are following him. And that's the same thing with Primetime. That's the same thing with the coach at Howard. That's the same thing with the coach at Hampton. Players are following those guys, are following these. To them, they feel like these are, it's time that we can identify role models as being those individuals that coaches. Not everybody, a rap star, got to be a role model. All the basketball players, coaches are too. Officials are, administrators are. They are your role models. We need to make sure we ensure that with our young people that they understand it, and our young people begin to see it better than we can tell them. And that's what's so exciting about what's going on now. Even we dealing with COVID-19 and all the lives that are being lost and all the people that are in the hospital, you still, if you want to carry this foot on, we just can't put our bare head in the sand, don't talk about it. So we want to talk about it and share thoughts. So we say we'll give a shout-out, make sure for basketball, dealing with the SWAC. The game's going to pick up the next month or so because they'll start the SWAC, the MEAC conference schedule. And you'll start in January the 1st or 2nd, I think the 2nd, and you're going to have it. There's going to be some good basketball going on, and they will be competitive at the end when they get ready to play in the tournament where, you know, you can go in better than 16, better than 15, you know what I'm saying? We need to put them in that 12, 13 and let them go in and let them be able to go against some of the other teams. But it brings a good basketball to me. We always need to be the last team or the play-in game. That's what happened to our historical black college and university. That's what, okay, you make some money, be happy, get beat, go home. No, they want to compete, and they can compete if they're given an opportunity to have an equal footing just like everybody else. So that's what we're going to make sure we talk. So the historical black colleges are getting ready to tip off. They tipped off some of them on the 25th, and some of them will tip off this week. We say hooray to the SWAC, to the MEAC, the CIAA, as well as the SIAC, which is Southern Intercollegiate Athletic Conference, and the Central Intercollegiate Athletic Association, which is Division II, but they're still NCAA. So they're about to get kicked off as well. All right, Marvin, we're going to jump over here and talk a little bit about, and not I'm skipping over things that we got a lot of things on here, but you know, I feel like we're gonna use that time wisely, very much so tonight. Let me talk a little bit about the Iron Bowl. We got to talk about that. We can't run for that.
Let me get mine out first before you rub yours.
Yes, sir.
The better team won.
It's all right.
The better
so
team
right.
won.
He's so right. He's so right. He's so right about
it. I go ahead and surrender this year. I surrender this year. I don't have no choice, but I think the better team won. And just being realistic about the game, I think that without Alabama having a head coach, that just goes to show you the well-oiled machine of preparation, the way Alabama do things up there in Tuscaloosa. Just because Nick wasn't on the sideline, they knew how Nick run the system, and that's how they came out. They did what they supposed to do. The better team won. My hat's off to them. You know, I can't say that word, but anyway, I just leave it right there. I'm going to let you have the rest of it.
Exactly. And that's what it's all about. You know, each year it's a competitive Iron Bowl. And both teams go in with good attitude, ready to win. And in some years when probably the team that is supposed to win won the ball game. So it happened like that. So the thing about it, the team that was the better team, that was more equipped to win, athletes-wise, and probably, you know, maturity-wise in regard to certain positions, and talent-wise, won the game. So we applaud Alabama, University of Alabama, for winning the Iron Bowl. Some people, and I heard some blasphemy on Monday dealing with us. A lot of the Auburn fans were calling in. They were very upset. They were very upset. They, you know, it's all right to lose, but not to lose like that. But let's be realistic. You know, when you have the talent over there and they clicking on all cylinders, you got to remember they're clicking on cylinders. Now, start when they played Ole Miss, the defense won. They were still scoring points. Now, y'all got to remember. Now, offense was still snapping, but the defense, now it has picked it up to a whole nother level. So, makes them more complete. They're one of those top four teams that's a complete team. So, like, the better team won, and that was the University of Alabama, and they moving, even this week, they got LSU, and the LSU is just, I don't know, this is something no one is used to, a sitting national champion, I'm going to say that, and come back the next year and might not be 500. That's the biggest drop-off we have seen in probably 50 years. Can't nobody name another sitting national champion from the year before to not probably win six games. Are they on a task to not win six games? And it's shocking to see that, because it was all gravy last year. It was beautiful last year. It was a well-oiled machine. But to lose that many players and people opting out to say, I'm not going to do this this year, sometimes you already see it. So that's going to be a game. It'll be recognized. It'll be a good game, but it won't be like it used to be in Death Valley during the 8 o'clock hour, because it won't be about 25% of the fans there. And then you're playing a well-oiled machine. Yes, sir.
Well, I mean, interrupt. That's where Alabama separates themselves from other colleges. Alabama have kids in the stable ready to play, ready to compete. When, if you look at it, when it's like when they lose so many to the draft, to the NFL draft, but they don't miss a beat. Just, it's the way the system is set up. Up there in Tuscaloosa, they have all these players, that really good players who they develop. I noticed one thing about Alabama, and I be joking with my brother a lot. A kid can leave home and go to Alabama at 200 pounds, but you look at them again, they're going to be 225. A kid seems like they leave home and go to Auburn at 200, they might be 205. So it's the way something, the way the system is set up, the strength and conditioning coach, the way they got them, developed them up there at Alabama. I have to take my hats off to them, the way they does things. But I got to ease back a little bit to Auburn. I'm disappointed. I'm an Auburn fan, and I don't make no excuses. But I'm disappointed in the way we have set Bo Nix up to fail. We just gave him the keys to the car, and he ain't know how to drive.
Yeah, there you go. We had some good
talented quarterbacks already there ahead of him, but we just gave him the key to the Mercedes and said, "Hey, go drive," and we ain't gave him no manual. And I'm saying, you know, and now behind him, we ain't got nobody in the back seat. No pressure on him.
Nope. And that's one way to set yourself up where you cannot win in the future, because he'll be there another year or two, and then you got to find somebody to fill, because everybody transferred. Malik
that's
Willis,
right. That's
awesome,
right.
Up at Liberty, one of the leading quarterbacks in the country. And he was right there. And the reason he left, because they said that he had to sit behind Bo Nix. And you're like, sit behind a freshman? No, man, I got to go. And then you also had the what's his name, Woods. He's the other big, tall fellow, the quarterback.
Gatewood.
See, all those guys was in line because they was told that we were going to be the star, but all of a sudden you decide you want to go with this freshman, not go with, thought it was going to work. It worked its way out a little bit, but now it's beginning to show. He has a sophomore blues, what they call, but this might be where, if they don't get some people around him, because I know several old players are going to be trying to get in the draft. For 3 years, they get in the draft, they're not going to stay around him. And you're going to have to replenish that. You know, Bisbee will be a heck of a running back, but you also have the receivers out there who I know up in there, junior and senior year, they about to get out of there. Schwartz and all
right.
of that. If they can get out of there, they getting out. They're not staying there. So you don't have nobody around them. So you left with the same situation. He going to still have to struggle, run for his life sometimes. And it's just hard to do. But that's what happens sometimes. And say you come, everybody come in Alabama for having players that are willing to stay. It's not them keeping them players there. It's those players willing to sit and wait to their turn. Because it takes a hard thing to do when you got people in everybody ear telling them, Marvin, oh, you can go and play over here. You can go play over here. You can go play. And several have left now. They have left, but they're not even hitting at anything. So that tells you there was something wrong with their game from the beginning, or they just didn't fit in like they need to fit in where they at and what they, I mean, what school they're located now. So that's what it's all about. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1, and we'll make sure we get you on the line for the last 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes. Marvin, we want to jump to some high school. And I want to start off with a little basketball because the last time we was on the air, you shared something with me in regards to dealing with COVID-19, being in a gym where you now closed in, ventilation may not be great, and you got some things going on where it's required as so-called safety measure. And I know I was sitting up in the gym, but I didn't see any of that practice. I didn't see any of that being practiced, like cleaning the seats off, the ball go up in the stands, you should be able to exchange that ball and clean that ball off. I know you brought that up about that ball. And I know sitting up in the gym, in a gym, even though it's middle school, it doesn't make a difference. It's middle school, ball roll over there, somebody throw it back, and the official put it in play. Now, I'm not putting it at the official. I'm not pointing at them. But I'm just saying this is part of something you shared, and you mentioned and wanted me to, and I did share that last time. Just kind of give me some follow-up, because I know you called a big ball game a couple weeks ago over there at a gym called Calhoun, over in the Hoon. You want to share some thoughts about that? Right, cool.
I did. The first night that we went to Calhoun, I don't think Calhoun really understood the protocol the Alabama High School. And then, like, if you see it now, they got it taped off to where behind the bench, only so many fans can be, like, first three rows got to be taped off, at least just for players. But as far as the ball from middle school to high school, if that ball goes in the stand, the official must change the ball, and that ball will get wiped down, sanitized. For you to see that, sound disappointed as an official. I do say some schools, I went up to Stanhope Elmore, I can say there, they had everything roped off because Calhoun went up there, and it was a good crowd, but they had his safety to the best that you can, best of your ability. Some people you just have that would not follow the rules, Dr. Smith. I don't care how you look at it. Some people just would not follow the rules.
Exactly. And I'm glad you mentioned it and wanted to share when I was talking about safety rules and in regards to making sure our kids are safe, making sure they're in a good position, dealing with being in the gym in a closed proximity. That's a little bit different than in football stadium, y'all. We can't, what we did during going to football game is not the same when you go inside a gym. It is a little different. And it says not, you know, I've read it where it says not a certain capacity cutoff that the High School Athletic Association is saying, but they said we still got to practice social distance, and we still have to make sure if you're sitting close together, it's with your family. Now, I thought I read that, and the thing about it, I know when they panned that, and that day you mentioned it going over there playing when they were signed, when the young man signed with Alabama, I know I ain't seen no seat vacant. Not in that gym, not that day. I didn't see it. It was on TV. So I'm just like, everybody here family? And everybody there ain't family. I worked in Lowndes County. Everybody ain't family. My family is from Lowndes County. Everybody there ain't my family. So the thing about the Packers gym And these are the kind of things you have to be worried if you're going to support your son, your daughter, your grandson, your granddaughter, your brother, your sister, your cousin. We understand you just can't be packed on top of each other just because of COVID-19. We're in the spike season for sure now. So you have to realize that there is measures that you have to take. It is not what the – because sometimes the school get caught up in the game and caught up in collecting money, which they don't do anymore because you have to go online. And that's another thing. They're not handing things out in money like they used to in Montgomery, I say. And you have to make sure you understand that they're only going to sell so many tickets because even the championship game model, it was talking about coaching cards, official cards and everything. It was talking about that, saying that till they meet capacity. They're going to allow people to come in, but when they meet that so-called COVID-19 capacity with coaches, they're going to stop it. Now, that's what I heard. I think I read that today. Breeze them. They had that. So I'm just saying we got to practice it when we go to the gym and understand we're in a trying time in life dealing with COVID-19, and it can quickly spread quick and fast among players that are not ventilated. And a lot of gyms ain't. Some of them are still 1940s. Some of them 1960s.
That's right.
They don't have
no air
conditioning.
That's right.
The ventilation
is
poor. And if a kid is sick and throws up, it has to be measures taken before you try to start that game because that's in the air. So you got to be ready to handle it because I saw that in a game that I was at. And they did a good job. Pitchers did a good job, and I applaud them. The only thing I said about that ball, the ball came on it, started to hit. Hey, let's go get the game started. I'm like, oh, I thought this should get wiped off or something, you know, or get another ball in there. But the thing about it is important that we practice and hold everybody accountable, and we can move through this eventually because it's going to be a challenge. Don't think because we get a vaccine tomorrow is going to be over with. I'm telling you, we got to still practice the best safety measures possible and follow the protocol. And that's that basketball.
That basketball is up in the air though to finish though. It's really up in the air to finish.
Mhm. Yeah, because as I was saying, the co-host Coach Smith, she's on 14-day quarantine now. She's a coach over at Goodwin. She's in the building with somebody who had. So they put on contract tracing. She can't coach her team for 14 days. She can't coach because she tested negative, but she was around somebody.
That's right.
In the school.
That's right.
As a teacher. The teacher. So that's how this thing is. And we have to really practice. If you're feeling like you may have it, go get tested, but don't still go party and do everything else. And assume you may not because you're now spreading. We got to understand, and in a gym that don't have that ventilation, these older gyms, even some of these newer gyms, they ain't got the ventilation. If you're on top of each other, it quickly, someone could be in there who are considered a spreader. They can cough and affect 400 people with their cough because it's airborne. Let's keep that in mind. We got to try to slow this down just as much as we can. Nobody said we're going to stop it. We got to learn to live with it. But let's slow it down. Let's practice good men. I know the holidays is coming upon. Thanksgiving just left. We're going to see what the numbers be after that. Then you got the next 2 weeks as the scientists are saying. Next 2 weeks is going to be could be the worst of all time right here because of the weather, because of the spread from people that may not practice the measures during the Thanksgiving. And now you have Christmas coming up. Then you have what? New Year's coming up. This will go into 2021, February, possibly. It's going to continue. I mean, the spread will go. So just keep that in mind. Let's practice good measures. Be responsible. Hashtag be responsible. One life matter. And the last thing, Marvin, as we close and get out of here, is talk about some Super 7 football championship.
We made it to the end.
And we just want to shout out these spotlight games. In 1A, you got Pickett County, 11-3 versus Linden. I think it's going to be an awesome ball game. And you can chime in when you want to in regards to a game, Coach, and talk about it as well. In 2A, we have Mars Hill Bible, 12-2 against Abbeville. And Abbeville is 12-1. That's going to be an awesome game at the 2A level. Fight in the 3A, 14-0 versus Montgomery Catholic. Let's give a shout-out to Montgomery Catholic for the success. They had some, been having success in the last 3 or 4 years. But they made it to the championship, got a chance to win the championship on, if I'm not mistaken, I think Thursday or Friday, one of them. They're going to get a chance to win a championship, and that's representing Montgomery. You have Gordo, who's 13-1, taking on Hanley, which is 11-1. You have St. Paul Episcopal out of the Mobile area taking on 14-0. They're 14-0 taking on Pleasant Grove, 11-2. That says something awesome with all the things happening in Mobile area. They're able to play 14 games. Think about it. Then you have Spanish Fort. They played 14 games. They're 11-3, 6A, taking on Pinson Valley. Now, that's where the Phoenix City coach, whose son is the quarterback for Auburn, came from, where they won a couple of state championships. Pinson Valley returning back to the championship game, 11-2. Then you have Auburn, 7A, 11-1, taking on Thompson, which is 13-0. People remember Thompson, they are the reigning champion for 2019. So they're going to move forth to be trying to be 2020 champion. Those are the games that are going to take on the spotlight. We're going to talk more of the results next week. The North-South Alabama All-Star game coming up here in a week and a half, less than 2 weeks. And you're talking about where you have the stars from the North, the stars from the South match up in a football game sponsored by the Alabama High School Athletic Association at Mobile Hancock Whitney Stadium. It's going to be played on the 18th, and it'll be played there for the next 3 years up into 2022. And that's all we have. Anything you want to share, Mom, before we close out?
Well, before we close out, I'll tell you that Montgomery Catholic game is in the morning. This is the first game in the morning. I want to say 11 o'clock. First game is in the morning. Montgomery Catholic taking on Fife, who have not lost in 2 years. They have not lost in 2 years. And they was 2A last year. They moved up to 3A this year. They still undefeated. So that's saying a lot about their football program, from going from 2A to 3A and still go undefeated. As you know, Linden and Pickens County, they played early in the season. Linden beat them pretty handily. So that's a rematch game in the championship. So you just see how that goes.
Exactly.
It's just going to be some good games. If you can't get to the stadium, you can go to National Federation website. I think it's almost like $10. You can watch all the Super 7 games on the website.
If you can't
make it to the game, to the stadium. And before we go, Dr. Smith, I got to give a shout out to the referees, the officials, to say congratulations to them who have been selected to call the Super 7. I have a couple of my officials that's in my association have made it. I think they got the 4A championship game. Matter of fact, my back judge that's called with me every Friday night is in the 4A championship game, and I just want to give a shout-out to the officials.
Thank you, brother, for doing that.
I didn't say this before we started. Happy holidays to you. I'm glad you had a good, lovely Thanksgiving.
Thank you, brother. Same to you, man. And we're going to try to move forward and have an awesome holiday coming up for Christmas. Everybody stay safe. Hashtag be responsible. Hashtag one life does matter. It does matter. And for those first four individuals that join us on Facebook, I want to give a shout-out for them again, the individuals join us. We have Davida Brown. She's joining us, member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. You have Yvette Smith joining us. We have Latay Pickett joining us. We have our co-host who's joining us as well. We have Nicole Sharon Brown and Michelle. Joining us, they fall in that category. So if you get to me, Lorinda D. Smith, 15@gmail.com, your size, and we will get that shirt shipped off to you. On behalf of the Smith Way production, we'll get that shirt that has hashtag responsible, have all our shows on it, then on the back have all the cats, everybody can. Now, if you want to get a shirt, you can go to that same email and just let me know what whether you want a shirt. It costs $10. We have a cash app. I have it on Facebook. You can check it out on Facebook because these individuals on Facebook. You can check it out and send you $10 and get you a shirt. Just tell me whatever size. We also have Winston K. O'Neill. Thank you so much. We have nephew. Winston K. O'Neill is a member of 580 Sigma Fraternity. We also have Sean Smitty, Smith nephew, a member of 580 Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. Cameron Gilbert, he's one of our co-hosts as well. And then we have Romisha Anderson joining us as well. Thank each and every one of y'all. Thank you, co-host Marvin. Thank you so much for taking time
yes,
being
sir.
A part
thank
of this.
You. Hey, thanks, man.
It's been good. So what we're going to do, we're going to continue to grind and grind. Tomorrow night, we got our Love Cafe coming on at 6 o'clock. We want you on there. Sign in at 6 o'clock tomorrow so you can be a part of it because we're going to make this thing happen tomorrow because we're going to be talking about do you deserve to be loved. Now, is it you or is it somebody else? And our title is I Deserve to be Loved Right. That's what we're going to talk about tomorrow. So join us at 6 o'clock Central Standard Time, 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, and Twitter. And also a couple more of our hash mark, keep on grinding. Hashmark, communicate for understand. And last but not least, as we get ready to slide out of here and move our body out of here, and I say thank you on this Wednesday, which is hump day. Wonderful Wednesday. We had an awesome time. And our co-host, Brother Marvin Smith, thank you so much for joining us, as well as the many others. And we're going to say, as I always say, hug somebody. Send them a virtual hug. Tell them you love them, because that's what we have to hear in these challenging times, that we love each other. But as I tell you, as we leave every time, I love you, and ain't a thing you can do about it. Have an awesome,
awesome. Oh, my God. Come and show it. Back at the right old
Everybody,